So Vijitasva is the son of Prithu. He has retrieved the horse when Indra has stolen it. So he became the emperor, and he also gave the kingdom to the younger brothers, distributed it. So the genealogical line of Prithu Maharaj, Prithu's dynasty is being described here. Second verse, read.
Maharaj, Vijitasu offered the eastern part of the world to his brother Hariyaksha,
the southern part to Dhumarkesha, the western part to Vrika, and the northern part to Dravina.
Next.
Formerly, Maharaj Vijitasva pleased the king of heaven Indra and from him received the title Antardhan. His wife's name was Shikhandini, and by her he begot 3 good sons.
So you know this episode where Prithu Maharaj's horse was being stolen by Indra, and Vijitasva retrieved that horse. Then Indra was pleased, and Vijitasva's the self-control was also appreciated. Close it. Vijay came? Vijay Prabhu?
He went from that
city. Okay. So, he is attending here?
He slept here.
Okay, no problem. So, and he received the name Antardhana. Antardhana is basically a power to disappear. Right? You are there, but you are not visible to anyone. You must have seen it in some movies. Old movies. So ability to disappear, that was given to him. So Vijitasva did not attack Indra because he was in the ropes of a renunciant. So and Vijitasva excused him only out of sentiment, even though Indra acted wrongly. Thus Indra became very pleased, and he gave him this power, Antardhana. Fourth. Pavakah pavamanascha suchir ityagnaya pura vishishta shapad utpannah
The 3 sons of Maharaj Antardhan were named Pavaka, Pavaman and Suchi. Formerly these 3 personalities were the demigods of fire. But due to the curse of great sage Vasishtha, they became the sons of Maharaj Antardhan. As such, they were as powerful as the fire gods, and they attained the destination of mystic yoga power, being again situated as the demigods of fire.
Vijitasva had 3 sons, Pavaka, Pavamana, Shuchi. So they were like as powerful as fire gods. When demigods fall down, they come to the earthly planet and become sons of very rich or pious people. And Vijitasva also had a second wife. That's mentioned in the 5th verse. Antardhana had another wife named Nabhaswati, and by her, he was happy to get another son named Havirdhana. So one wife is Shikhandini, and from her he got 3 sons. Who are they? Pavaka, Pavamana, Shuchi. Second wife is Nabhaswati, and he got Havirdhana through her. So Antardhana was very liberal, and he did not kill Indra while the demigod was stealing the father's horse. So, now, there is no black and white rule to be applied in all circumstances. The person's personal preference and his own values or his own mood and nature will come into play. Now, this activity can be done in a certain manner. And if another person comes, he does that activity in another manner, which may also be appropriate. Right? Now, from one... His forgiving attitude, liberal attitude spread in his administration also. Some thieves are there. He says, ah, take it, chale jao. Right? He is more into forgiving business than punishing business. But he is putting the role of being a kshatriya. A kshatriya cannot be so soft. Yeah, softness in kshatriya may be appreciated, but if he is predominantly soft or he is only soft and he can't be strict, then he is not fit for that role. Now the question here is, what is correct? Being liberal is correct or being strict is correct? That's not the question. What nature suits this role? If he's a brahmana, he can forgive. Okay, hamesha forgive, I'll keep on forgiving. But he's into administration, he can't just be just forgiving people left, right, center. And internally he may forgive. At heart one should forgive, definitely, no doubt about it. But externally, if there is a need to take an action, he has to take an action. Because his liberality might encourage unnecessary, like bad habits. His being liberal might encourage the wrongdoers. Okay, they don't take it like, oh, I am forgiven so that I can improve. They may take it in a different way. Oh, I am forgiven for this mistake. In future also, if I do mistakes, I will be forgiven. ठीक है, जब तक वो क्षमा करता रहेगा तब तक मैं गलती करता रहूँगा. So that could be the mentality of people. So not only the person who is forgiving is mature, should be mature, but the person who is being forgiven, if he is also not mature, if he doesn't take that forgiveness in a positive spirit, he will take undue advantage of that liberalness. Understand? So if both parties are mature enough, then there will be positive effect. Okay? But in a citizen, when you are managing a citizen where 1,000 people are there, thousands of people are there, you need to be more politically correct than being just liberal and soft-hearted and forgiving like that. You see, you need to, when you have to implement rules, then you must keep aside your soft heart for a while, at least. So, now, for example, one of you did not write exam. On a personal basis, you say, okay, fine, you can write little later because you have this disease problem, so I can just say. But if I just mentioned it in Ishta Goshti and make it like a policy out of it, then people will take undue advantage of it, right? So these are certain things. When you are dealing with multiple people, strictness has to have its role. On a personal basis, you need not develop any grudge towards other person and be very strong with them. You can be polite, you can be mild and soft, but when you have to implement a protocol on a higher scale and a larger group, some protocols have to be given importance. So basically, his being soft-hearted made him ineligible for that role as a king. Okay, a king needs a more commanding and stricter disposition. So kings sometimes have to perform duties which are not very desirable just because he's a king. Arjuna was not willing to fight and he was given feedback. Okay. So that does not mean somebody may not be fit for certain role. That does not mean he is unfit for anything. That does not mean he is useless. This role needs certain nature and he has a different nature. So you find a role for this person where he fits in, like that. He has more brahminical spirit. He can't do a kshatriya job. Okay, just because he's unfit for this kshatriya job, that doesn't mean he's useless. He can do something else. So we, in bhakti, in devotional service, sometimes we may have to do things which we don't want to do, or which we don't like to do, or which are not very natural for us to do. Because if we keep on doing things that we want to do, where is the question of surrender? If we keep on doing things what we are able to do, what is natural for us to do, where is the question of our faith in Krishna? So although I don't have the capability to do things, still depending on the blessings of Guru and Krishna, I venture into something which I have not done earlier, right? Or although I don't like to do it, although it's like really austere for me to do it, because so and so person wants me to do it, to please that person, let me just venture into it. So this is what bhakti process is, right, to a certain degree. But if it becomes too much, all the time you are always doing what you don't want to do and what you cannot do only, in the name of surrender, then it's like you are not what you are. Krishna has given you certain abilities and talents and tastes and inclinations. So one can utilize them also in Krishna's service. And the person who is managing you, the person who is guiding you in your spiritual life, should also recognize, oh, this fellow wants to do these things. So bhakti is a combination of both. Right? From our side, for example, you are on the receiver side, a subordinate side, you should be willing to be flexible and compromise according to the requirements of the superior, guru or guru's representative, whatever. And from guru or guru's representative side, from the senior side, they are willing to just accommodate your interests and your natural propensities. Although sometimes according to the need of the hour, they may have to stretch you a bit. You see? So this kind of combination of a mature superior and subordinate. Subordinate is flexible, even if it means to compromise his own personal tastes and inclinations and abilities. And the senior, the superior, is also mature in terms of accommodating and then trying to accommodate this person what is natural for him. Right? So they will stretch a little bit, you stretch a little bit. They compromise a little bit, you compromise a little bit. Their combination is very nice. That's a relationship based on concern for each other, not exploiting each other, or not perceiving exploitation in each other. You see, that kind of combination is nice. You get what you want to do and what you can do. At the same time, you may compromise a little bit also. Right? So that's what we have seen. We have discussed earlier in Priyavrat's case. Priyavrata has not yet come. Then Four Kumaras case and all. So now in this case, Antardhana, his nature is not at all suiting the current need of administration. So what he did, Antardhana was engaged in performing sacrifices because he was a self-realized soul. He very intelligently rendered devotional service to the Lord, who eradicates all fears of his devotees. By thus worshipping the Supreme Lord, Antardhana, wrapped in ecstasy, attained his planet very easily. He is meant to go back to Godhead. He is meant to perform full devotional service. The other day I was saying from the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Mai eva mana adhatsva, mai buddhim niveshaya. You remember that? Mai eva mana adhatsva means completely absorbing one's mind in Krishna. If you can't do that, next days. That is, mai buddhim niveshaya. Engage your intelligence in Krishna. If you can't do that also, engage your senses in Krishna's service. Krishna gives gradation. Krishna does not expect mayyava mana adhatsva from everyone. But for someone who is in mayyava mana adhatsva stage, for him to forcefully bring him down and then put him in, engage your senses in Krishna service. It may be a little incompatible for him. You see? So, now he is meant to just absorb himself completely in Krishna, and you tell him, you do this management. He has stolen, he was a robber. You just punish him. That's what he says. You should punish him. It's not there in my system. What I can do? Okay, fine. Go and absorb. Chant Hare Krishna. Okay? We'll put someone else who has some rasa for it. Right? That's what is being done here. Okay? So, And we can't artificially, when we are in sadhaka stage, we can't just artificially present ourselves as, I'm absorbed in sadhana, I'm absorbed in holy name, I can't be doing all this managerial work and all. This, who is that? Madhavendrapuri's verse is there. You remember that? Sandhya vandana bhadramastu bhavato bhosna natubhyam namo bho deva pitarascha tarpana vidho nahaksham akshamyatam yatra kvapi nishadyayadavakulottam sasya kamsadvisha smaram smaram aghamharami tadalam manye ki manye namem. He says, Sandhyavandana Bhadramastu Bhavato. Oh, Sandhyavandan. Brahmanas have to do 3 times Sandhyavandan. Bhadramastu, let there be auspiciousness for you. Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo. They have to, Brahmanas have to take bath thrice in a day. They have certain cleanliness protocols. I mean, you just be happy. Means, basically, I can't be doing all this, following all these things. Next. Bhosnana Tubhyam Namo Bho Devaha Pitarascha Tarpana Vidho. We have to offer oblations to forefather, and there are some protocols and pujas, rituals that one needs to do. Naha Kshamaha Kshamyatam. Kshamta Nahi. Kshama Karo. So I don't have the ability to do all these rituals. Please forgive me. Then what you will do? You can't follow any protocols that are meant for Brahmanas, and you are a Brahmana. So next line, Bho devaha pitarascha tarpana vidho naha kshamakshamyatam yatra kvapi nishadya yadavakulo tamsasya kamsadvisha. There is a personality who is the killer of Kamsa, that is Lord Krishna. Smaram smaram, by remembering him again and again, agham harami, I will give up all my contamination. Sinful contamination, I can clean it completely by remembering Krishna. Manye ki manye name. What is the need for any other rituals? So there are exalted devotees at that level. Means they can completely absorb themselves in remembrance of Krishna, and they are oblivious to all the worldly protocols, what Brahmanas are supposed to do, what Kshatriyas are supposed to do, all these Varnashram rituals and all this. They are not meant to do all these things. So they can just absorb themselves in Krishna, but we can't prematurely imitate their position. For us, there is a regimen given to us by the acharyas, by our superiors and seniors. We need to follow all that. Although it's not natural for me. Ruk jao abhi, 10 saal ke baad bolo, 20 saal ke baad bolo. He just began chanting Hare Krishna, don't say all this now. You understand? Understand things in context. Don't put yourself in the position of antardhana. Antardhana is given a role of management. He is not suiting for it. So, he directly worshipped the Lord. But if you are given time, will you worship the Lord directly? As much as antardhana did. You will become antardhana from there. Right? So, we can't be prematurely transcendental. We can't prematurely pose ourselves as advanced devotees who have the ability to absorb ourselves completely in bhajan. Do some service. So, it is subject to, depends on person to person. So, within the sadhana also there are preferences, there are 100 other things to be considered. So, we discussed his case, there is more to elaborate. But we'll move ahead. And acharyas say that antardhana worshipped Hamsavatar. Next, Prabhupada writes in this purport, Antardhana was externally engaged in performing sacrifices, but his real business is rendering devotional service of hearing and chanting. Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Next, 8th verse. Now, Antardhana story is over. Havirdhana, his son. Havirdhana had a wife named Havirdhani. She gave birth to 6 sons. Barhishat, Gaya, Shukla, Krishna, Satya, Jitavrata. So before going into the next part, any questions about Antardhana or what? Haribol, I'm in class. I'm giving class.
चले गए हैं।
माधवेंद्रपुरी श्लोक और रेफरेंस, रेफरेंस इज माधवेंद्रपुरी, इट्स अबाउट हिम। Prabhupada quotes it somewhere, I picked it up. You can do some folio search and find out. Give me also reference. I don't remember. Anything else? I got the principle, not just references. You understood? So 8th verse. 9th verse. Barishishat so sumaha bhagavam havirdhanihi prajapatihi क्रियाकाण्डेषु निष्णातो योगेषु च कुरुद्वः। So, Barhishat, the first son of Havirdhana. He is Kriya Kandeshu Nishnato. He is expert in doing karmakandic sacrifices. So, Barhishat, Prachina Barhishat, Prachina Barhi, all are same. He has so many names. Sakha, Sakha Gadadhar, only Gadadhar. We have artist, like that. He has multiple names. One name only. Other names are subset or superset of these names. So, Kriya Kandeshu Nishnato. He is expert in karmakandic sacrifices. Yogeshu cha kurudvaha. Yoga is mystic yoga practices. There also, he is quite expert. In the beginning of creation, there was not many living entities. Consequently, very powerful entities or demigods were appointed as prajapatis. To beget more children. Yasyedam deva yajanam anu yajnam vitanvataha prachina graihi kushair asid astritam vasudhatalam.
Maharaj Barisat executed many sacrifices all over the world. He scattered kusha grasses and kept the tops of the grasses pointed eastward.
So this is the way in which you conduct sacrifice. Kusha grass. And he grew kusha grasses everywhere. He grows kusha grasses and at that place he performs sacrifices. And meanwhile plantation of kusha grasses at different places is going on. So before the sacrifice is completed, he is ready for sacrifice there. Prabhupada says that's how we have to do Sankirtan Yajna. Before the program at one place is ended, your plans for next program is ready, Sankirtan program. So, in those days, Parachinu Barhi was doing this karmakandic sacrifices. In these days, we have to do Sankirtan sacrifice, Sankirtan Yajna. Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Prabhupada quotes that. Next, 11th verse. Samudrim Deva Devoktam Upayeme Satadrutim याम वीक्षचारु सर्वांगीं किशोरीं सुष्ट्वालंकृतां परिक्रमन्ति मुद्वाहे चक्रमेग्निः सुकीम इव।
महाराज बरहिसत हेंसफॉरवर्ड नोन एज प्राचीनी बरही वाज ऑर्डर्ड बाय द सुप्रीम डेमिगॉड लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा टू मैरी द डॉटर ऑफ द ओशियन नेम्ड सतद्रुति। Her bodily features were completely beautiful and she was very young. She was decorated with the proper garments, and when she came into the marriage arena and began circumambulating it, the fire god Agni became so attracted to her that he desired her company exactly as he had formerly desired to enjoy Suki.
This is another interesting section, small section. This is about the marriage of Prachinabarhi. Prachinabarhi married a girl who is the daughter of Samudra. Samudrim Deva Deva Uktam. Deva Deva Uktam means Deva Deva is the demigod of gods, boss of all demigods. That is Brahmaji. Brahmaji suggested, you marry Satadruti. She is fit for you. Yam Viksha Charu Sarvangim. And the Satadruti is so beautiful. Daughter of ocean god. She was so beautiful. Sushtvalankritam. Already she is beautiful. On top of it, she is decorated with so many jewel ornaments. Beautiful dress, beautiful ornaments. Now, even if people are not so beautiful, if they are dressed in colorful garments and nice ornaments, they may look beautiful. They may appear beautiful, or at least they may catch the onlooker's attention little bit. Right? Then I will say, "Arey, itna sundar nahi." Right? Only dress is nice, like that. So most people attract the opposite sex by dress and the color of dress and the style of dress, although they themselves are not beautiful. But she is both. Charu sarvangim sushtvalankritam. She is beautiful, even without all these gorgeous decorations. On top of it, she has wonderful decorations also. So, because she was so beautiful, parikramantim udvahe. Udvaha means marriage. Parikram means circumambulating. So, chakrame agni. Thank you. don't want this beautiful wife. I want that as a prostitute only. Like that. Sometimes lust becomes extremely specific towards one person only. Some attributes, you get attracted to that person in some angle. A angle mein achha lag raha bas. Somehow mind just got stuck there. Even if all other angles are horrible also, you just want that only. So these are certain aspects. How Maya captures a person is really amazing. It's beyond logic sometimes. All kinds of logic fail in front of a person who is overwhelmed with lust or anger or greed. All anarthas. Lust has his own flavor, pride. So logically everyone, whole world can see, it doesn't make any sense why he is getting attracted to her or why she is getting attracted to him. But for him, all logics fail. And even if he understands all logics, but the internal force is so strong, helplessly getting attracted to that person only. Right? It can happen with Agni, fire god, considered to be most auspicious. Fire is considered very pure. If it can happen to Agni, if it can happen to Shiva, if it can happen to Brahma, if it can happen to a pure Brahmana like Ajamil, who is Shruta Sampanna, Ajamil's qualities are described elaborately. Some 15, 16 qualities he has. Brahmanical, pure Brahmanical quality. He got attracted. What to speak of a feeble Kali Yuga youngster who is living in, who is studying in co-education schools, constantly surrounded by all kinds of billboards. As he is walking, 10 people are sitting around. Right? They don't even observe this etiquette that we can't sit with men. Saatme baithenge. Bus mein, they are just going in bus. In my childhood, in our city buses, right, women have a different section, men has a different section. In our colleges, girls sit separate, boys sit separate. Right? But Abhi, I don't think so. I don't think these kind of protocols are existing anymore in India. What to speak of outside? I saw this only in ISKCON temples. Women are separately sitting and men are separately sitting. Right? So, Prabhupada writes, it's extremely difficult to avoid the association of opposite sex, undue association in Kali Yuga. One needs to be extremely careful. So Prabhupada writes, one becomes lusty just by hearing the bangle sounds or seeing a sari. Or just hearing the name. You have not seen that person only, just the name of opposite sex in some bell rings. Right, who is this? Right. Woman is, and one becomes a little conscious. One's body language changes slightly. Right, these are all symptoms of one's attempts or inclinations to impress the opposite sex. Woman is complete representation of Maya. Vishwamitra, poor guy, he is doing lot of tapasya. Menaka came, his hundreds and thousands of years of tapasya is gone. 60,000 years of tapasya he did. I don't know at what stage Menaka came, but whatever, even a few hundreds at least. So Menaka came, Menaka just did bangle stick like that. He became victim of lust. Then Rambha came, he became victim of anger. Okay, either anger or lust, something will happen. Only a devotee who is attracted by Krishna can escape the lures of a woman. Once one is attracted to Krishna, illusory energy of the world cannot attract him. So, cultivating that positive attraction towards Krishna is the solution to come out of the attraction of Maya. Hasam hare ravanata khila lokativra sokasru sagara visoshana matyudaram sammohanaya rachitam nijamaya yasya bhrumandalam manikrite makaradhajasya. So, it is said that the opposite sex, they throw arrows through their glances. With their eyebrows as the bows, they throw arrows through their glances on the opposite sex. To protect oneself from that, focus on the eyebrows of Krishna that are manifested by his internal potency. Take darshan of the Lord. Next, 12th verse. Vibhudhasura Gandharva Munisiddha Narorakaha Vijitaha Suyaya Dikshu கோணயந்த்வைவ நூபுரைஹி.